This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. So just beam me up, man. Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live for the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. It's a Trash Tuesday around here, so if you want to do some trashing, take it up with me at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, DA on CBS. We'll do trashings throughout the final 2 hours of the show. Also this hour, Rashad McCants, who was the number one pick of the Big Three, three-on-three league that's going to open up this summer, just a couple of weeks from now. Also, an NCAA champion at UNC has been in the middle of that UNC academic fraud investigation. We'll talk to Rashad McCants coming up in about 12 minutes from now. Trashings coming in over the Twitter machine. John tweets, DA, Smashville into Trashville. Fake fan base showing true colors, throwing debris, national TV F-bombs, turtlenecks on the ice, etc.
Taking out the trash.
I did not like that look, and I thought for all of the cool things about Nashville in the Stanley Cup Final, I think for all of the cool things about Nashville throughout the NHL playoffs, for all of the cool things about Nashville throughout the Predators' run, didn't like it. It's not rare, unfortunately, for fans to boo a team that wins the championship on the road floor, the road ice. We've seen this happen in previous years as well. Home crowd sees the other team win the cup, boos them as they skate around with the cup, take turns kissing it, holding it up. We've seen that before, but throwing stuff on the ice is classless. Chuck in Nashville tweets, DA, I'm PO'd the bags that were booing and throwing crap on the ice during the Stanley Cup ceremony. I'm disappointed in Nashville. Hashtag Trash Tuesday.
You're so trashy.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair. Look, that team comes into your house and wins. I don't expect you to be happy about it. That team comes into your house and wins a Stanley Cup. I don't expect you to applaud them or celebrate with them. But throwing stuff on the ice to try to disrupt their championship moment, yeah, didn't like it. I think that deserves to get trashed. The Golden State Warriors are kings of the NBA yet again. And the question is not if this is Kevin Durant's only championship, but how many championships will he win with this squad? It just seems inevitable that they will be back here next year, or at least a couple of times over the next couple of years, to win more rings. That team is just too good. And I diagrammed the ways that it could go awry last hour, but ultimately I just don't think that this Warriors team is not going to win another championship, maybe as soon as next year. And I think over the next 4 years, they could easily win another two, three, or four of these, which would mean the Golden State Warriors could end up with six titles in 7 years. And that wouldn't be all that crazy. Jordan and the Bulls did six titles in 8 years. But I look at this, and while part of this feels dissatisfying because they were already great and they just added Kevin Durant. And it also feels weird because Kevin Durant was up 3-1 on the Warriors. And had he won one more basketball game, he was not going to be joining the Warriors. Right? I mean, let's face it. Had they closed out a 3-1 series lead in the Western Finals last year, Kevin Durant's not leaving the team that was better than the Warriors to join the Warriors. He's not going to the NBA Finals and then saying, yeah, but you know what? Let me join the team I just beat. With one more win by Kevin Durant at last year's Western Conference Finals, he's staying in Oklahoma City or going somewhere else. But I can't imagine he'd leave to go to a team that he just beat. But because they came back to beat him, he felt like he needed to join them. Now, granted, he has said he liked the culture there. He was attracted by Steve Kerr. Those are things I would be attracted to as well. I think Steve Kerr's fantastic. I think he has this balance of life and sport down. You know, when you have a father that is killed across seas in Beirut at a time that was very chaotic in the 80s, and you come home as a college star or you're playing as a college star and you have fans taunting you for that, then you develop your game into kind of being a utility, do-everything guy, part of championship teams in San Antonio, Chicago, being around Jordan, being around Pop, being around Tim Duncan. You know, you just have a lot of life lessons there, and I think you have a lot of perspective there, and so I have nothing but admiration for Steve Kerr. So I could see why that was interesting and that was enticing. But Kevin Durant left because he got beat. He left because he got beat by that team. And now he's got a window of this team being a supernova for another 4 years, perhaps, or more. And I just think about how unfortunate it is that this was not the legacy or the window of his previous team. Because right now we are goo goo gaga, tongues are on the floor going, can you believe this roster of under 30 superstars? I mean, the Warriors might win the next 5 NBA championships. They've already won 2 out of 3 years and could have won last year. They're a game away from being a three-peat and could have another three-peat. And the fact is, this was the future of the Thunder before it was the future of the Warriors. Let me take you back a decade ago. Because in 2007, the then Supersonics drafted Kevin Durant with the 2nd overall pick. The 1st overall pick, Greg Oden. So they absolutely nail Kevin Durant in 07. Okay? They, of course, move the franchise to Oklahoma City after just 1 year in Seattle with Kevin Durant. The next year, with their 1st pick, they get Russell Westbrook, number 4 overall. And then later in the 1st round, they take Serge Ibaka. So in 2 drafts with 3 first-round picks, they have Durant, Westbrook, Ibaka. The year after that, they have the number 3 pick overall in 09. They take James Harden. The fact of the matter is, 8 years ago, the future of the Warriors now was the future of the Thunder then. But what happened? Ownership didn't want to spend the money to keep them all together. Now, it was a little bit different, I will totally admit, because you've got a ball-dominant Russell Westbrook and a ball-dominant James Harden and a ball-dominant Kevin Durant, and you go, how does this all fit together? But if you are the Thunder and you are that ownership, think about it. They went to the NBA Finals in 2011 and lost to LeBron and the Heat. And that's when Harden left and it all kind of went askew. And guess what? I mean, even just Durant, Westbrook, and Ibaka had a couple of years there where they could have been champions. There was the injury to Durant that derailed that year. There was the injury to Russell Westbrook that derailed another year. There was an injury to Serge Ibaka. They made the Western Conference Finals a couple of times. They fell short. So they got to the Western Conference Finals a couple of times and lost. They got to the NBA Finals and lost. And they had years derailed by massive injuries to all of those important guys. But This Warriors ownership says, we'll spend the money to keep this thing together. We'll spend the money in the luxury tax because we want to win. And Oklahoma City could have done that. Now, Kevin Durant today is better than Kevin Durant was then. Smarter, better player. Steph Curry today is a better player than, say, Russell Westbrook in his rookie season because of experience. And, you know, had you put Draymond and Klay and Steph and KD together as rookies, I'm not saying they win three straight championships. I think it takes seasoning. It takes understanding. I mean, before Steve Kerr got here or got to the Warriors, they didn't win a championship. They had Mark Jackson, and they had the same team and fell short in the playoffs. So it takes seasoning. It takes experience. It takes the right leadership. But had Oklahoma City maybe won a championship early, let's say they beat that Heat team in 2011. Maybe ownership goes, we got to keep this thing together. So let's pay the money for James Harden. Let's spend the money to keep all these guys together. And if they win a title together early, does James Harden want to leave? Does Kevin Durant ever leave? You know, you've got Russell Westbrook now there, and he's the next guy that I hope is able to win a championship because I love watching him play. He gives his heart and soul to the game. He's not a perfect player, but he's absolutely deserving of having a championship moment one day. But you could only imagine what would have happened had they broken through and won a title one of those years together and then been together and seen what it took and stayed together and ownership wanted to keep it together, because there's a core four in Warriors land right now and everybody's dancing and having a great time and celebrating this next decade of dominance. Yeah, well, you know what? You guys are just Oklahoma City after Oklahoma City didn't do it. It's the sad truth. You know? It's the sad truth. They fit together great at Golden State. They fit together great because there's not necessarily a ball dominant guy. And you have two shooters that can catch and release or shoot off the dribble. And so it doesn't take them having to bring it down the floor and decide what to do and pass here but need the ball back. You know, they could just catch and fire, get their points, get their shots, and feel good about it. But we should have been talking about this Warriors window with the Thunder 5 years ago. And then how karma works, I guess. Kevin Durant leaves that to join the Thunder or to join the Warriors and maybe sink Oklahoma City forever and create this window with Golden State. When we come back, Rashad McCants is going to join us. We'll ask him about the NBA Finals. We'll ask him about playing against some of these guys. We'll ask him also about being in the middle of this academic turmoil from the UNC investigation standpoint. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Zapped while the sun is out.
Aw, I love the da.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Remember, you can always listen to us on your phone. Download the CBS Sports app, the TuneIn app, the Radio.com app, or Apple Music. They're all free to listen to CBS Sports Radio and the da. Also, you can watch us on your phone. It's mobile friendly. WatchDA.com, the digital live feed. The Big Three Basketball League is starting up, coming up in a couple of weeks at Barclays Center in Brooklyn. It will make its way around the country, playing on Sundays and Mondays. The number one pick of the Big Three tournament is former NCAA champion with the UNC Tar Heels and also draft pick of the Minnesota Timberwolves, Rashad McCants, who joins us now. Rashad, how you doing, buddy? Good morning.
I'm doing well. Good morning to you.
I appreciate you being with us. I want to ask you, obviously, about the Big Three, but my first question is going to be about last night's NBA Finals. What did you take away from Kevin Durant's MVP Finals performance over the last couple of games?
Man, he showed pure greatness. In my eyes, my opinion, he's the best player in the league. He's been the best player in the league for a long time, and he's finally got the opportunity on the biggest stage to prove it, and I'm just excited for him.
That's interesting. So you think that Kevin Durant's better than LeBron James is right now? Rashad, you with us? Sounds like we lost Rashad. I mean, again, sometimes my line of questioning is so explosive, it just blows up the phone lines. So you just have to bear with that.
Oh, okay.
Happens. Dropping bombs like that. By the way, Rashad McKent will be playing on Trilogy alongside James White and Dion Glover, Captain Kenyon Martin, co-captain Al Harrington as well. So it is worth noting that we've had Kenyon Martin on this show, and now Rashad McCants, and I feel like maybe Trilogy is slowly becoming the DA show's Big Three squad. They're going to come through Barclays Center June the 25th, then July the 2nd, they're going to be in Charlotte at the Spectrum Center. Then in July 9th, Tulsa at the BOK Center. July 16th, Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia. They go to Chicago at the UIC campus, July the 23rd. Then Dallas, American Airlines Arena, July the 30th as well. So that's going to be kind of this barnstorming tour that this league goes on. After that, Lexington, Kentucky at Rupp Arena on August the 6th. L.A., Staples Center, August the 13th. And then the playoffs at Key Arena in Seattle, August the 20th. Then August the 26th, right before Labor Day weekend, they'll be playing in Vegas for the championship. 3-on-3 tournament. They've got their roster set. And you've got some legends playing in this, like an Allen Iverson. I'm intrigued by it, undoubtedly, especially because now that the NBA Finals are over, I'm staring into the big summer sports abyss going, be good to have something to talk about. It would be good to have something to wake up and talk about here on the show. You know, you got July 1st in NBA free agency, but baseball itself on a daily basis doesn't necessarily have the nation chomping at the bit. Some big stories, but not necessarily the small day-to-day stuff. And I'm always bored by training camp when it comes to the NFL. So would it be bad if we had July and then early August filled with some decent basketball to talk about and to watch on TV? Rashad McCants is back with us. And Rashad, I was going to ask you, so you think that Kevin Durant's better than LeBron right now, huh?
I do. I believe so. Not statistically. Statistically, LeBron James is the king, and he is the man, gratefully so. When it comes down to skill and everything that Kevin Durant brings to the game, being 7 foot, being able to take over the game the way he does, man, there's no one that can match him.
So if you were starting a team right now as a general manager and you had a pick out of everybody, you would take Durant number one over LeBron?
I would. I definitely would.
And that's interesting because Kevin Durant wasn't on this Warriors team last year. They won 73 games. And so if you took Kevin Durant off of the Warriors, I feel like they could still win the title. If you took LeBron off of the Cavaliers, they wouldn't be very good. You know what I'm saying? So I kind of feel like it's interesting to say that KD's better than LeBron, because if you took them off their teams, wouldn't we have the Warriors way better than the Cavs?
Absolutely, because there's Steph Curry still, you know? And there's still Kyrie Irving as well. But the dynamic of the Warriors team is all about how they play. It's not about who they have. It's about how their culture of how they play. And Kevin Durant fits that culture because he's always been that unselfish player. And I feel like his skill set surpasses LeBron's at certain points of the game. LeBron has everything. He does everything very, very well. But Kevin Durant just, he does everything well as well, but he's just a better shooter. He's a better creator, one-on-one player.
Interesting. Do you think when all is said and done, we will consider Kevin Durant the greater player overall? Because we're talking about LeBron versus Michael. Do you think one day down the road, 20 years from now, we're saying Kevin Durant was the better player than LeBron?
I think it could be up in the discussion, but just because LeBron, his pedigree from the moment he stepped on the court, moments before he stepped on the court, and then everything he's done up until this point, it's hard to not say LeBron's not top two, top three, top four, and the greatest ever. But Durant, you know, just because of his size and the years he spent without championships, there's always going to be a debate until he gets two or three or four more.
You know, you've talked about how Michael Jordan was a huge influence on you growing up and playing basketball. Do you think there is a point in time where LeBron could catch Michael to be the greatest of all time?
Well, LeBron will first have to surpass Kobe Bryant to even consider that. And that's a far-fetched idea, because I consider Kobe Bryant the guy to surpass Michael Jordan. But that's my opinion. I know a lot of people don't agree with my opinion, but Kobe Bryant is just one of the guys that I think is the best to ever do it. And LeBron has a long way to go to surpass either Michael or Kobe.
Wow, Rashawn McCants joining us here on the show. Okay, this is interesting. So why do you think that Kobe Bryant is better than Michael Jordan?
Well, just because he was the student. And the student surpassed the master by taking all of his moves and all of his magic, and was able to elevate the game to another level in a different era, in a different generation, where there was more talent, there was more offensive firepower, more defensive firepower, and a lot of guys didn't win championships because of Kobe Bryant. He was able to win without Shaquille O'Neal. Michael Jordan never won without Scottie Pippen. So the debate is in when it talks about the greatest, when I'm just talking about skills, not necessarily stats, but just skill level.
Interesting. Rashawn McCants joining us here on the show. You've been outspoken about being in the middle of this UNC academic fraud investigation. How do you feel right now? Do you still feel like you've been kind of unfairly portrayed and left twisting in the wind by UNC?
I do. I feel like that whole situation was about me pointing out the NCAA, not necessarily UNC. In the ESPN interview that I did, it was 15 minutes of me and UNC back and forth, but I really did a two-hour interview about just the exploitation of college athletes and how to fix it. So my message didn't truly get out there the way that I wanted it to. So we do a lot of trying to do a lot of crisis PR and trying to figure out how to turn this table and get the real message that we really want to portray out there.
Are you upset with Roy Williams? Are you angry with him?
No, I'm not angry with anyone.
What's then the emotion about it? How do you feel if it's not anger?
I don't feel anything. I feel more that people should address it because it's about the kids. You know, it's about the next generation of student athletes, helping them get compensated, helping them get real education to help their future, even if they make it to the NBA or they don't, that they're prepared. And I feel like anyone against that can only delay the process of us trying to find a solution. I just feel like everyone should just jump on board. I don't think there should be any hesitation when we're trying to change the element of education and compensation in sports.
The Big Three League is going to tip off coming up here in just a couple of weeks, and you're part of Trilogy. We had Kenyon Martin join us here on the show. He talked about drafting you number one overall. Give me the scouting report on Trilogy going into the season.
Well, we're definitely a three-headed, four-headed monster. Myself, Kenyon, Al Harrington, James the Flight White, Deion Glover. We're all around the same size. We can switch everything. We all like defensive, passionate-minded players. So we have a chance to really win it all.
Interesting. And you guys have Coach Rick Mahorn, so... is he already telling you guys hard fouls? He wants a little bad boys feel on this?
Yes, definitely. I mean, we have Kenyon Martin already.
Yes, true.
So between Kenyon and Rick, you know, we're definitely going to be out there playing hard and not giving up any easy buckets.
When you look around the league, who do you think is the biggest competition to you?
Right now, we look at power as a competition. Killer Threes is going to be our first game that we play in Barclays Center, Brooklyn, New York, on the 25th of June. There's a lot of teams, though, that can pose a threat to everybody. So it's just about, you know, us doing what we need to do to win.
It's pretty cool. You guys will have weekly quadruple headers on Sundays between these squads. Barclays Center is first up June the 25th. Charlotte, North Carolina, a place you know very well, July the 2nd at the Spectrum Center. I'm interested, man. I'm going to be locked into this, man. I appreciate the time, Rashad. Thank you so much, and best of luck with the league, buddy. I'll be watching.
Thank you very much, man. Follow me on Instagram, Rashad McCants.
On Instagram, at Rashad McCants, and he joins us here on the show. Again, the Big Three League tipping off on June the 25th. Wow, Rashawn McCann saying Kobe's better than Michael Jordan. Man. And he makes a valid point. He makes some good points. I can't give that number one top spot GOAT status away from Michael, though. He's still number one to me. Kobe was amazing, and he made some good points. But I still feel like Michael's the greatest of all time. When we come back here on the show, a little sound check, your best audio of the day, including LeBron last night answering whether he believes he's ever played on a super team equivalent to what the Warriors have. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Open now for brunch.
Hey, DA. Now I'm going to be listening to you in the morning on the way to work. I do like that. I like the fact that you're going to be my morning Perez is a cracker.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
At O'Reilly Auto Parts, you'll get better parts, better prices every day. They'll have the parts that you need to get the job done right with high-quality parts and accessories at guaranteed low prices. And the store's well-trained professionals standing by to help. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Welcome back, DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. A lot of you guys very much enjoying Rashawn McCann's opinion that Kobe Bryant has surpassed or did surpass Michael Jordan as the greatest of all time. Craig writes in, wrong. Blair writes in, if ignorance is bliss, McCants must be one happy dude. Eduardo tweets, if the Big Three games are on the same level as Rashawn McCants' reasoning, it's already a flop. So, sounds like you guys are really all in.
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Sounds like you guys are totally on board, huh? Look, it's a hot take. It's a hot take. You don't hear many people saying Kobe's the greatest player of all time and has surpassed or did surpass Michael Jordan. There was a quote, though, last night after the game, LeBron taking the podium and being asked about super teams that's getting a lot of traction this morning following the series win by the Warriors. So we'll get there right now with your sound check.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
So LeBron being asked last night if he agrees with super teams like the Warriors being good for the NBA, and the questioner says, you know, you were part of two of them, one in Miami and one now with the Cavaliers.
I don't believe I've played for a super team. I don't believe in that. Okay. I believe we're a super team here. So, no, I don't.
So that was kind of hard to follow there. Maybe we can play that one more time. You guys know that I really love LeBron, but this doesn't make much sense. I'm sorry.
I don't believe I've played for a super team. I don't believe in that. Okay. I believe we're a super team here. So, no, I don't.
So, obviously, wires got crossed in his brain. Okay, and I think here's how I would interpret this. I think LeBron was suggesting I've never played in a team like that. And I'll tell you why he thinks that. I think he respects Kevin Durant. I think he has a total mutual admiration thing going with between him and KD. But I think he looks at what Kevin Durant accomplished as far less than anything he accomplished. I think he says, I never joined a team that won 73 games. I never joined a team that had already won a championship. I never joined a team that went to Game 7 of the NBA Finals. And KD just joined a squad that was already great, that it took everything we had to beat. And then they just added him. Like, I've never been on that type of team. And so that's when the first thing that crosses his brain, because he's been asked about Durant and the building of the Warriors, and he's been tepid in going in too far. Because he doesn't want to say this is a joke. Because Kevin Durant, I mean, just was added to a team that already could have won the NBA title without him. Then he realizes in his brain, well, if I say we're not a super team now in Cleveland, I'm disrespecting all the guys that I've said you got to come play for me. If I say we're not a super team, I have sold Kevin Love down a river. Because when I told him, you got to say yes to a trade, you got to come here from Minnesota, we need you, we want you, and all the times he's tried to build them up, he can't now say, yeah, we're not a very good team. We're not a super team. We're just a bunch of regular average Joes. Because then he's also saying to Kyrie Irving, he's not a great player as part of a super team. So he kind of catches himself in already dancing around the reality. And the other reality is he has been part of a super team. There's nothing else you could call what the Miami Heat were except a super team. Because the Miami Heat brought three players together in their prime that were future Hall of Famers. And they assembled it. Now, that became a word that we used for that squad because it was assembled. It was like Wonder Twins or Voltron. Like they just all came together at the same time. But we've had super teams before. I mean, the Los Angeles Lakers of the 1980s have Kareem, have Magic, and have James Worthy. Those are three Hall of Famers. That's clearly the equivalent of any of what we got going on right now. They're clearly the equivalent of the current Cavaliers, right? I mean, Larry Bird, McHale, Parrish, Dennis Johnson, all future Hall of Famers. Add in there Bill Walton as a sixth man coming off the bench as a Hall of Famer. I mean, a super team, I would say so. The final three titles that Michael won, he has Scottie Pippen and Dennis Rodman. Three of the greatest players ever are on the same roster. That's clearly a super team. So we've had this for a long time. We just didn't call it that way. And now the way that it's framed with the Warriors is it's almost unfair. And I think LeBron views his work as more authentic, as more of a grind than what the Warriors just went through to beat him. That's what I think. Drew Brees joined Tiki and Tierney yesterday here on CBS Sports Radio. Talk about super teams, but way old. This is like Malone and Peyton on the Lakers. Adrian Peterson is now in the backfield with Drew Brees.
He's, you know, a 32-year-old running back in the NFL, which typically means that you're retired. You know? But he's a different guy. I mean, as far as his, you know, his longevity and what he's been able to accomplish, you know, later in his career. You know, 2 years ago he led the league in rushing at age, you know, what, 30. Like, he's a guy that is hungry and out to prove something, and he is still looks explosive as ever.
It is so weird when I see Adrian Peterson in a Saints uniform. It looks so weird. He did a photo shoot the other day. I just could not get over how odd and bizarre it looked. I got to say, I don't expect much from Adrian Peterson this year. I think AP is going to end up being somewhat effective sometimes. He's not going to be a 1,300-yard back. I don't think he'll crack 1,000 yards. I think you could use him on the goal line. I think you could use him in short yardage situations. I don't love the idea of using him too much. Has Jamal Charles signed anywhere, or is he still out of work? He's in Denver. So they both got jobs. I've said this all along. I would rather have had Adrian Peterson instead of Jamal Charles, simply because Jamal Charles used speed, quickness, breakaway ability to be dominant. And you don't have that at your older age. You've lost those wheels. But I think for Adrian Peterson, despite him having so many more carries than Jamal Charles, at least I feel because he's a big body, I can use him in short yardage situations. What a story for the NCAA. UCF kicker Donald De La Haye obviously is just a kid playing college football and has wanted to try to make some money. So he started his own YouTube channel, and it has him kind of working out. It has him doing some quirky kicks, and he's actually garnered a lot of attention, or at least a lot of subscribers, and he's garnered like 2 million page views. So he makes some money off the monetization of that, some ads that run on YouTube for his stuff. And the NCAA came in and said, you can't do that anymore because you're using your likeness to make money, which is such a joke.
All right, man. So I've been meaning to talk to you guys about this for a little minute now. A lot of y'all have been asking me, where's the vlogs, you know, where's the inside college football player type videos, and where's the this and where's the that? What's been going on? Some people upstairs aren't happy with my videos, and they feel like I'm violating NCAA rules and whatnot. And it was, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I don't understand why, but I mean, who am I to say what is in the rule book and what is not? Anyways, like I said, some people ain't been happy with what I've been doing. I'm kind of trying to figure out a way around that. I guess I can't make any videos that make it obvious that I'm a student athlete, because that makes it seem like I'm using my likeness and my image to make money and all this, which I'm really not. So I don't know, man. The NCAA has like a 400-page rule book, and you know, they probably don't even let you take a in certain locations. Who knows? They got that many rules.
Probably true. We know that Rick Majerus can't buy you bagels. I mean, this is just insane. As he put it, he says, I'm not allowed to make money off my YouTube videos, but I'm working hard. It's basically like a job. I'm filming, editing, coming up with ideas, doing things of that sort. I'm editing things on my computer for hours, developing my own brand. I'm putting in the work, and I'm not allowed to make any money. I'm just trying to use this almost as a summer job. And he says, I'm not selling dope. I'm not making money illegally. I'm not kidnapping people or robbing people. I'm not selling even my autographs for money. I'm not sitting here getting Nike checks and Nike deals and sponsorships. I'm literally just filming and editing stuff. And the NCAA swoops in and says, no, you can't, because you're using your likeness. Which to me is just the biggest joke ever, because on the same day we have this story, we have the University of Hawaii offering a fifth grade quarterback who's 11 years old a scholarship. So the NCAA can look like fools. The NCAA can shop for fifth graders. The NCAA can offer scholarships to kids in middle school. But a guy that's kicking for UCF can't have a YouTube channel that shows him as a student athlete. I mean, can you believe the hypocrisy? Can you believe how ridiculous the NCAA is? Can you believe how dumb this whole idea is? Like, the NCAA can bend over backwards to make every last dollar. They can break up old conferences. They can make teams that are thousands of miles away from one another a conference game. They can break all apart these regional rivalries just to make sure football money is there. They can make a tennis team travel from Maine to Florida for a league contest just to make sure the basketball television rights stay intact. I mean, the NCAA does everything. Everything it wants. Anything it wants. It can create games, create bowl games, create content. They can make the season longer. We can do whatever we want. We can offer scholarships to fifth graders. But a kid can't have a YouTube channel that films his likeness, because that's against the rule book. I mean, what can you even say about how ridiculous, dopey, and archaic the NCAA is? And finally, we just had Rashad McCants join us here on the show. And Rashad making some bold proclamations.
In my eyes, my opinion, he's the best player in the league. He's been the best player in the league for a long time. And he's finally got the opportunity on the biggest stage to prove it. And I'm just excited for him.
That's interesting. So you think that Kevin Durant's better than LeBron James is right now?
I do. I do. I believe so.
Man, I think that opinion that I've heard a little bit after the finals is really just because of the NBA finals. I think it's really based on the last five games. And that's why I don't think it's very valid. That's at least why I disagree with it. And that's your sound check. Because if LeBron had found a way to beat the Warriors, and even if Kevin Durant had all of those points, if LeBron found a way to beat the Warriors this year, no one would be arguing that Kevin Durant's a better player than him. We would be marveling at the fact, how the hell did LeBron do this? How did LeBron do it again? How did LeBron knock off that team? How did LeBron do the impossible? Nobody would be saying right now, Kevin Durant's better than LeBron, even though LeBron just won another championship. No way. But simply because of the wins, it looks different. And Kevin Durant had a wonderful finals. Wonderful. And Durant deserved to be the unanimous MVP. But if Kevin Durant can't take a team to an NBA championship without it having Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, coached by Steve Kerr, Iguodala, Livingston, and all those guys, I can't say that he's better than LeBron. He joined a team that won 73 games, and they won one more game in the playoffs. One more with him.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.